Revelation, so I'll try to stay awake.
I've not been sleeping
a whole lot recently, so I'm a bit tired right now.
No.
So, but we'll be refreshed in God's Word. How about that?
Amen.
All right, Galatians. We've been studying the book of Galatians. It's a lot about Judaizers trying to add law to what you have to do to be saved, which is simply believe on Jesus Christ. And we're looking specifically here as we get toward the end of chapter 5 about being led by the Spirit or led of the Spirit. So Galatians 5:18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this evening, for the chance to be in your house and be able to study your word. We thank you for this study in Galatians, just how much truth you have here in this book, how grace is sufficient, how law is deficient in reconciling us to you. Lord, we pray that you would help us in this study here, looking at the contrast of being in the flesh and later being in the Spirit, Lord, in our lives. We pray that you'd help us stay focused on you, fixed on you, our direction set on you, that we be guided and led by your Spirit. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So how can we tell if we are following the Spirit's leading? How do we know if we are experiencing spiritual victory? Paul contrasted what the flesh produced in a person with what the Spirit produces. He wrote that the flesh produces evil qualities that God condemns, whereas the Spirit produces Christ-like qualities that God commends. Condemns versus commends. That's kind of a tongue twister, I'm sure you could put one together. So we'll be spending a bit of time looking at the works of the flesh, but let's take just pause for a moment and say that victory over sin is not accomplished because we desire it. Just because we want to. I really wish I could have victory over this sin. Wishing, in this context here, doesn't earn you anything, doesn't gain you anything, doesn't merit you anything, doesn't bring anything to pass. Or like wishing for a new car would magically make one appear. It doesn't happen. What we really need, the only thing that we need in this regard, and the first thing we need, is for the Lord to guide us, that we need to yield to His Spirit, submit to His will. God has given believers the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide us in all truth, John 16:13. So you may have seen driving around towns these license plate brackets or maybe some bumper stickers. We're in Corvallis, you see lots of bumper stickers here. But this one in particular would say, Jesus is my co-pilot. Has anybody ever seen one of those?
Yeah,
I've seen quite a few. I haven't seen any recently, but I have seen them in the past. So this is, I think, grossly an error to place Jesus in the co-pilot seat, that we are the director of our lives. No, that's not quite right. It is better to say that Jesus is my pilot. He's my leader. He's my captain. He's my God. That's who should be in charge of our life. We should be led by the Spirit, by Jesus, and under Jesus' control. Then the Bible also speaks of just having this general imagery of a shepherd and sheep. We see it how the Hebrews were known to be shepherds. That was a disgrace to the Egyptians when they came to live in Egypt. Abraham was a keeper of sheep. All of the children of Israel were keepers of sheep. The Levites and the sacrifices and all the things that they had to do there dealing with sheep and cattle. All the way through into the New Testament, where Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. Again, referring to this imagery of sheep, you have a shepherd who is there to protect, to watch over, to comfort, to lead to water and to feed, to protect from wolves and dangerous animals that might want to come and take them away. and kill them. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. So we have this, the idea of the shepherd being the leader, being the guide, being the pilot of our lives, helping us in that spiritual vector, directing us in the path that we should go. So God is the one who should be leading and guiding the lives of man. And if we look at just a few passages in the book of Psalms, if you want to flip over there, the 23rd Psalm, and we'll be flipping around a little bit in the book of Psalms here, but the 23rd Psalm, verse 3, David writing here, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is the role of God in our lives. If we are yielded to Him and we are led of the Spirit, He leads us in the paths that we should go, these paths of righteousness. It's for His glory that we are able to give Him glory for working in our lives. You know, it's a double blessing, right? You get blessed by yielding to the Spirit and allowing God to control you, and then He blesses you and gives you rewards and blesses you for being blessed and yielding to Him. It's a double-sided reward in that aspect. Back in Psalm 5, if we look and key in on some of these words of lead me or lead or guide, Psalm 5, 8 says, Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. You know, just show me what you'd have me to do. Lead me. Psalm 25, we're going to be progressively stepping through here. It's 25, 31, 48, 73, if you want to get prepared. Psalm 25, verse 5, Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lead me in thy truth. David calling out to God. Verse 9 in Psalm 25, The meek will he, the Lord, guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So he'll teach you if you submit to him in these paths. It's not having this haughty spirit or lifted of, well, I know all that I need to know about this particular thing. If there's anything that I've learned in reading the Bible or studying or any of these things, or even in secular work too, the more you know you don't know. Yeah. Is what I've found. The depths of God's riches and glory, endless from our perspective. So Psalm 31, verse 3 says, For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Giving all the credit to God here, being his rock and fortress, the one that he's trusting in to uphold him and hold him up, lift him up, support him. Casting all his care upon the Lord is David. Psalm 48, verse 14, the sons of Korah write, For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Forever and ever, God is a guide of those who put their trust in him. And Psalm 73, verse 24, Asaph writes, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Guide me. If we are to be led of the Spirit, we need to submit to the Spirit's leading. Yield that control. That is probably, you know, one of those hardest things that you can do is to say that, is to give someone else control. For people who like to drive, it's hard for me to let somebody else drive in the car. I know my aunt was here just last week commenting on our driving and commending us for our driving ability here. I'm glad she didn't ride with me when I lived in Philadelphia. I'll just say that. It would have been a little bit scary. So, where was I going to go with that? So, I'm not sure. Maybe we'll come back to that one. Okay, so let's continue on back in the book of Galatians. And Galatians 5:19. So now we get into some of the darker side, chapter 5 here. We start to see all these really bad things that Paul describes here and that is reflective of living a fleshly life. And we'll go through them one by one. And my goal is to, when I put this together, I went through that particular day's news, just news articles, news headlines, and paired up most everything in here with some sort of news article that was in our today's headlines. So most everything is within the last week, I would say, for this. So Galatians 5:19, we're going to go through each one of these, define what it is, and see how it applies to our current state of our world today. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. So adultery is defined as an unnatural union, unfaithfulness of any married person in the marriage bed, or also from a scripture standpoint, idolatry or apostasy from the true God. So going after other gods, Israel seeking after other gods, spiritual adultery. Where don't we see this today? In any celebrity, so-called celebrity, or even our president is not immune from this. Certainly not the most moral man that's ever occupied that office. I'm sorry to burst anybody's bubbles there, but we'll speak truth here. While he has done some good things, I believe, in his presidency so far, his moral character is in question. Doesn't have much of a foundation to stand on there. The next one, adultery, fornication. So separate from adultery, being the unrestrained physical relationship between unmarried persons. So for this one and the next three, I just wrote Hollywood with a bunch of dot, dot, dots. It's like every filthy piece of trash that comes out of there, whether it be a movie or whether it be the actors or the... There's just something new that exploded over this... what is his name? Weinstein. Just today, another allegation came out. So, just terrible things. Again, living in the flesh, being led by the flesh, yields to these particular things. I'm sure there are probably a few Christians that work in Hollywood, either as actors or behind the scenes. I think there are some that are open about it. But by and large, it is a cesspool of trash and garbage. We should guard ourselves and what we see on even network TV or what we consider being worth our time or money and going to movies to see as well. The standard that I can see, at least, you know, for me, I like watching some of the older movies that have come out, even some from my childhood. I can look at and see, well, there's a lot of questionable things even there back in the 80s and 90s of looking at these things. And even if you go further back, it's is it truly necessary to use certain imagery or certain vocabulary or lack thereof of a vocabulary to convey the meaning or the impression, to get your point across, to get that emotional connection with your audience? I believe not. I think there are ways that you can do things much more cleanly. If we look at, I think Pastor and Brother Matt have showed some movies on Christian comics, or the videos on Christian comics. There's no swearing there. There's no vulgar jokes, but it's incredibly funny. I think one of my favorites was what the state of North Dakota being turned into the, you put a fence around the whole thing and turn it into the state penitentiary. That's what it's good for. One that really struck me was a joke about German shepherds in Nebraska. Yes, there are German shepherds in Nebraska. Lots of them, lots of dogs there. I speak from experience. So guard our eyes in that. Uncleanness, moral impurity, defilement by sin. Again, Hollywood. Lasciviousness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, tendency to excite lust. Again, all the same garbage and trash that we see in Hollywood. Now we get to idolatry. Is the worship of things made by hand, which is not God. God's not made by man's hands. Not the little, not the golden calves that Aaron had produced at the behest of Israel, unbelieving Israel in the wilderness. Not the little smartphone gadgets that we have in our hand today, and anything in between. Idolatry is anything that you put in front of God and make as the God of your life, whether you realize it consciously or not. So our modern society is a materialistic society and has lost sight on many things, placing trinkets and toys and the next big thing as paramount. I know from experience speaking, you buy those new toys. I can remember, I guess it was shortly after Stephanie and I were married, we were living in Pennsylvania. I had always wanted a PDA. Does anybody know what those are anymore? Personal digital assistant. It's now become your smartphone. So you used to have a little stylus, you could tap, tap, tap something in here. I really wanted one because it ran Linux, and you could reprogram it and do all kinds of fun things there. Well, you know, I got it, and I used it, and I had a little Excel spreadsheet that I was keeping track of the mileage on the Subaru that I had at the time. But, you know, I soon got tired of it. It's like I spent all of my time reading everything about it. I could tell you most anything about it, which chipset came with it, how you could do this or that. And you know where it ended up in a couple months? In a box. I think it was in my glove box forever, and then I just took it out. I think I might still have it somewhere in my collection of electronic gizmos in a box on the attic that I never touched, and I have never turned it on for, more than a decade. So, you know, you buy these things that you think you just can't do without. You can do without it. Trust me. The next one, so we have adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. So you don't have people walking around with pointy hats and wait, it's Halloween today. You do have that today. Today we have that. So, but it's defined as sorcery, enchantments, practice of unlawful arts. People will say, oh, but it's just white magic. We're white witches or all this other kind of stuff. And okay, it's still witchcraft, sorcery. So there's an article from USA Today published, and this was out of Toronto, Ontario, on October 25th, so just a few days ago. Woman was charged with witchcraft in Canada and fraud in alleged evil spirit blessing. So this woman decided that she was going to, she's in her 20s, I believe, scammed $600,000 Canadian dollars out of this man. He sold his house, turned all of his money over to her, sold all of his possessions, so that she would cast these spells to remove evil spirits from his life. Admitted fraud, but this goes on too, not necessarily from the financial fraud that she committed, but just people considering that this is something that you can do, that dealing with evil spirits or even spiritual world to begin with. Let me put it this way, there is a spiritual world that is operating behind the scenes. You don't want anything to do with it, contacting evil spirits or whatever you think are good spirits. You don't want to have anything to do with that. This man found out the hard way. The next one, hatred. Hatred is great dislike, enmity, abhorrence, detestation of whatever, often directed toward people. The Guardian, which is a British publication, says on October 29th, 2018, and this is, well, you'll see, it's a left-wing newspaper. It's known to be a left-wing newspaper in Britain. The article is titled, "Donald Trump's Rhetoric Has Stoked Anti-Semitism and Hatred, Experts Warn." So the article, hook line says, "The president's tone has come under scrutiny after the Pittsburgh massacre of 11 Jews and, quote, does not discourage people from acting out their terrifying views." It's not his responsibility. And he's not responsible for the actions of the individuals that do things. Individuals are responsible for what they individually do. And in this case, this hatred that keeps getting called out there is coming from both sides of a political spectrum here. There is no good guy or no moral actor rising above the rhetoric that is out there. All sides are contributing to the deplorable discourse in our country today, where you have, oh, Democrats are evil, or Republicans are evil, or we have to resist this, or we have to deny that. Any of these different things, it is bubbling hatred, boiling over into physical actions that we see these days. Here in Oregon, if you have the unfortunate opportunity to go to Portland these days, I recommend not going. I don't believe it is a safe city. I don't believe that the city government nor the police department there are to protect the rights of the regular person who seeks to live peaceably there. I would suggest staying away if any of the recent events that we've seen occur. So the next one is variance, an alteration of something formally written, difference that produces dispute or controversy, disagreements, dissension, discord. So the article that I have here is along the alteration of something formally written, and things that are up until recent days have been known to be not correct. Newsweek article from Houston, Texas. Notice the language of the article. Anti-gay group sues Houston Public Library over drag queen story time from October 22nd, 2018. So this is a story where the Houston Public Library allowed drag queens, which are men dressing in women's clothing, to come in and read children's books to children at children's story time. This is confusion paramount. I mean, manifest in the light of day is complete confusion there. Not only of the men that participate in this, but it's confusing the children that are there. How are they supposed to understand the proper roles of what of men and women in society today? Now, this is not to say that women don't have the capacity for intellect or being highly intelligent and functioning at certain areas just as men do. But this is to say that there are certain things biologically, physically, that men can do that women can't. And the same, things that women can do that men cannot. They are separate, distinct roles given by God to function in a family unit of man and wife. In that agreement, and that covenant agreement between man and wife, to produce children, to raise them, grow them, to be good followers and people that will seek after God, to lead them to the Lord. This is the role of a family. And then when you distort the perception of, I myself get mixed up on the terminology of, What is a trans woman? Is it what you were that you're going to, or what you're going to that you were? I don't know. I honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And to be honest, the whole thing doesn't make any sense, because biologically speaking, you were born with a certain set of chromosomes. You're biologically male or you're biologically female. there's no discrepancy in that. That's something you can't change. And it just doesn't make sense. So you have this other byline here that says anti-gay. If you notice the propaganda, the ways of spinning these things, you have anti-gay. Well, maybe it's pro-family or pro something. This, there's always the anti when it's made to be negative. On the pro-life argument, I would consider myself pro-life. But then the pro-choice side of it has that pro, that positive sounding prefix added to their position when they speak of themselves, whereas you would have, well, anti-life, or properly speaking, anti-life or abortionist, those sorts of things. So you have this whole spin here. I don't know what to trust when I read articles these days. It doesn't matter which source it comes from. If you, there truly is no objective news that we can read today. It was quite sad to compile this list and match it up with all these things here. So, continuing on, emulations are to contest, contention, strife, competition, rivalry accompanied with a desire of depressing another. So the article is from The Hill, which is, I believe, is a blog, and it's an opinion piece that says, the Kavanaugh lesson, resist the resistance or lose. So there was this whole thing. I think we all paid attention to the news. I think the world mostly did, or at least the United States did, of our latest Supreme Court justices hearing, and all the make-believe nonsense that was going around there. Unprovable allegations, I believe three total accusers, the third one being the most egregious, things that just didn't make sense. Would, even if you were to judge the case by its merits in the court of law, any sound judge would toss it out immediately. But since it was in a court of public opinion, and you had the political motivations of people involved, it was quite difficult to see through any of that stuff. So you have this, we have the great divide in our country politically now between the left and the right. Not necessarily between right and wrong, but between left and right, where you have one movement that is going to basically stir up strife or contention. If you've seen the resist stickers on the backs of bumpers or any of these different things, what it is it's a movement to try to stifle our president's policies that he would like to implement. I think there is a time for protest. We are certainly allowed that under our Constitution here. We don't blindly accept what our leaders do. We work through a process of what we have given by our Constitution. I think violence in any regard, basically, if you're having a debate, debate is good. Discussion is good. I think discussion is better than debate. Talking with people, trying to understand their perspectives. As soon as that debate or the discussion devolves into violence, we have lost. I mean, this is the end of it. We are seeing it these days, and that it will come to violence. So wrath, good one to follow up with there, is violent anger, indignation, and the effects of anger. And we bring it home to Portland. Newsweek article. Antifa and Patriot prayer clash with batons and pepper spray on the streets of Portland back on October 14th. I don't know if you guys heard of any of that stuff, but there's a group in Vancouver, Washington, led by a man who I think is running a, how would you describe it, a lost cause Senate campaign in the state of Washington. Gibson, I think, is the last name. As a group calls themselves Patriot Prayer, so they try to put on this front of we are patriots, we are standing up for our government, the rights of the people, limited government. I mean, maybe some things that I might be sympathetic to, but then they bring in, now we're prayer people. Now they have this prayer moniker that they tack onto the end of their group's name. And they purport it to be, somewhat Christian. I'm not seeing their actions necessarily being Christian. And it's easy to pick on Antifa, who runs as a pack of rats with masks on, hitting people, and in the case of Berkeley, bashing people with bike locks that are stuffed into socks and splitting their heads open. This violence, the rhetoric that is being stirred up, good things are not going to come out of this thing. But then on the other side, too, you would say you have Antifa being a left organization, even this Patriot Prayer Group might be a right side organization. They're not discussing anything. They're purporting to discuss things. Oh, we're going to go have a protest march in downtown Portland with our group coming through here. Well, they want conflict is what they want. This is not, I'm not sure if they even consider themselves Christian, but it is certainly not Christian behavior to go seeking conflict. Strife, contention with anger, struggle for victory, quarrel or war. Over in Jersey, in Newark, WCBS 880 has an article titled "Insanity on New Jersey Transit, Horror Train After Breakdown." So back on the 29th, on the way home from leaving Penn Station in New York and coming into New Jersey on New Jersey Transit on the local side, it's not too far into New Jersey where the train breaks down. It's just, it can't move. And apparently this train is double stuffed. The one prior to it was delayed and canceled, so the next one's running out. They run them on a pretty regular schedule in New Jersey. If you guys have ever had a chance to go back east and ride some of the train systems here. Stephanie and I used to do that from Philadelphia. We would hop on the train, which was literally a 100-yard walk from our apartment, go to Center City, Philadelphia, get on the train to Trenton, hop on, switch over onto New Jersey Transit, and then go to New York City and be able to be in New York City in a couple hours. But on this particular train coming home, it's stacked. It's standing room only. They're all electric powered trains there. So it stopped on the tracks and nobody can get out. It's electric, so all the air conditioning systems are down. It gets hot. People are getting sick on the train. And it's just a nightmare of a train where people then start fighting. There's actually several fist fights that broke out on this train during this time. Now, mind you, it was 2 hours, standing room only in a hot, cramped train car. But still, this strife, this contention with anger, quarrels and victories. So it's quarrels and war. Seditions rising up in opposition to the law or the administration of justice. I refer that back to the emulation side of looking at the whole resist movement or anything to do with Antifa or right-wing groups. Heresies, a fundamental error in doctrine or error of opinion respecting fundamental doctrine. So what I consider heresy is Calvinism or Arminianism, Catholicism, and Mormonism. So there was an article that I saw posted on Facebook from a group called Life After Ministries, and they're a group that helps people coming out of Mormonism in understanding what the Bible actually teaches and what Christianity is all about and how it differs from what the Book of Mormon and the Mormon authorities teach. So they had an article here talking about necromancy in Mormonism. So necromancy is being able to talk to spirits of the dead, having these types of communications aspect. And this, if you're not aware, is prevalent in Mormonism. So the particular post that they had here is based on their now first president, who is Russell M. Nelson, but back on the April 2016 General Conference, Nelson told people he was awakened one night by the presence of two deceased little girls who happened to be sisters and heart patients of his. God calls this necromancy. So he's talking to dead people. And this article, this was just a blurb from that one, but the one I saw had him regularly being basically known in the upper echelon of Mormonism as the one who talks to dead people. So it's not just a Bruce Willis movie, it's now Mormonism. Envyings, ill will directed at others on account of some supposed superiority. Again, seeing the emulations. murderers, the unlawful killing of human being with premeditated malice. So again, I think we're all pretty aware here of what happened in Pittsburgh over the weekend, where 11 in a synagogue were massacred. The suspect was charged with 29 counts. So a man allegedly, and again, I guess we have to use that specifically, allegedly murders Jews simply for being Jews. The hatred and the malice that is there, I believe all of these things in some degree have some aspect in this man's life that leads somebody to have that much anger, that much hatred, that much malice towards somebody to actually pick up a gun and go kill them just for simply existing as a person, as another human being. And then the irony of it, being sent to a hospital where he was being treated by Jewish doctors and Jewish nurses, and how graceful they were to him, and how specific, and how much more the rabbi that I believe is one of those that are in charge there at the Tree of Life synagogue, just being graceful and showing grace to all those involved, asking for, not necessarily going overly political, like you could perceive potentially going on there, but you know, just asking for just let's tone this down. He's seeing the direct fruit of this bubbling up of hatred and malice in our society today. And then we have drunkenness and revelings, and I'll kind of combine those together because this was a pretty sad article. So we live in a college town here, so this will somewhat apply here. So drunkenness, a state in which a person is overwhelmed or overpowered with spirituous liquors, so that his reason is disordered. So the state has the article from Columbia, South Carolina. Drunk USC, University of Southern California students are overloading the ER and causing mayhem at a Columbia hospital. So Columbia being the capital seat is the state of South Carolina. Partying too much, getting hurt. Again, if you get alcohol poisoning, you're going to the ER, but then you're just generally going there and running around being crazy and making mess and a huge disturbance so that the staff there can't properly serve those who are generally in need of ER care. Being drunk is controllable. That's a choice that you make. Some of the ER accidents that need to be treated there, those aren't necessarily controllable as much as being drunk is. So revelings, noisy festivity, clamoring, and partying. You probably notice a sign coming into town here on Harrison and 9th Street. They have a nice little signage board that basically says, don't get too loud when you party, or we're going to fine you. So having to put signs like that up, I mean, even in our town here that we get to witness. But you know, and verse 21 summarizes that as and such like. So this is not an exhaustive list that Paul compiles here. But altogether, it is just plain wickedness, and the wickedness of the heart of man apart from the new birth and the regeneration that the Spirit does in our hearts at the time of salvation. It's all just wickedness. It's all vanity. It's corruption. It's nothing good comes from this. So it is what the world aspires to in this world system. It aspires to this and holds it as a virtue to go out and get drunk, to be angry, to be at variance with others, to have emulations, to be wrathful, fornication, all these different things. These are held as virtues in our society today. It is all wickedness. I'm going to have to wrap it up there. I thought I was going to get through the next parts of these things. So I will have time to develop another idea that I want to bring up, that I wanted to do today because, well, people are walking around like zombies this afternoon. We'll talk about some dead men things next time, and we'll look at that. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll continue this next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this lesson, for continued study in the book of Galatians. Lord, we see the works of the flesh that the Apostle Paul has outlined here, just some of them, Lord, how they are not glorying, giving you the glory. They are just rotten, hulking, stinking messes that man at his best state will eventually decay to. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to yield to this if we're born again, that your Spirit is there and is indwelling of us, that can help us and guide us and lead us in the paths that we can go. Lord, it's not that we won't be tempted, but that you would make a way to be able to escape and to endure that temptation. Lord, that we would not have to sin against you. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us and guide us. Help us to yield to you in all that we do. We pray that you'd help us and continue this study in this lesson next week. And we ask this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.